My brothers and sisters, may our Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for the reception there, but they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw that they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another one said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him, Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The word of the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the 45-minute homily, and don't even think twice about it. Anyway, I have apps for everything, so I had the app for the readings and that. So I read them, and I was all prepared. And then this morning I came in, getting ready for Mass. I've been put at adoration and go back, and I looked again. I did all my tweets, you know, for the Mass this morning, and I did the wrong readings, all the Gospels. So I prepared a very fantastic homily that we will not give. So we got another one. And so what happens, though, is the Spirit of the living God, it talks about living a spirit-filled life today, huh? And it's altogether different reality than being a good Catholic or a good Christian in name. But it's about letting the Spirit of the living God live and through you completely. Now, sometimes we priests tell you, okay, this is what you got to do, but we don't tell you how to do it. So I'm going to tell you how to do it. You know, how to live this spirit-filled life. Well, first of all, we have to have complete surrender to Jesus Christ. Huh? In the Old Testament and the Gospel today, people want something else first. Well, let me bury the... Could you imagine going to Jesus and says, "I'd like to bury my father, please." And Jesus doesn't say, "Oh, I'm so sorry, your father died." He says, "Let the dead bury the dead." Well, thank you, Jesus. Huh? It'd be like being around Father Larry. It would be horrible. You know, it'd be like, "I thought you were to be nice. I'm just like Jesus." Anyway, the reality is we need to make sure that we have surrendered everything to Jesus Christ. So the first thing you have to ask yourself, am I willing to give up everything for Jesus? Huh? I used to have on my mirror, it would just say, "Sometimes I think I have fully surrendered." And then he asked me for something I don't want to give up. Is there anything in your life that you would not give up for Jesus Christ? Because he's saying, then you're not worthy of him. And again, it's like years ago, and I'd always talk about, you know, I do it at missions. The first night of the mission, I say, put the five things you love the most on a piece of paper. And everybody looks at me like, "Oh, who's this guy?" Just like most of you did. And so they write the five things they love the most on a piece of paper. Then I get up and I sit there and say, "Okay, life is about giving things up. Everything you have is going to be taken from you, or you have to give it up. That's the reality." The opening line of my Be a Man book, which you've talked a lot about, my book, but the same thing. What's the opening line of my book? "You are going to die." That's the ultimate reality. So I say, "Give me the five things you love the most." And they write the five things they love the most on five different sheets of paper. And I say, "Okay, life is life. So something comes on, you have to get rid of one." And they go, "Huh." And they get rid of one. I say, "How many do you have left?" "Four." "Okay, something else happens, get rid of another one." "I can't get rid of Snoopy." "Get rid of him." Boom. "How many do you have left?" "Three." And I'll sit there and say, "Okay, you got to get rid of another one." And then the parents look over at the kids and says, "Sorry, kids." And they says, "That's okay, we got rid of you first." Anyway, so they get rid of another one. That's just terrible. So how many things are left? two. And I says, okay, get rid of another one. I hate you. Join the crowd. And I get rid of another one. And I said, so what you have in your hand, is that which you love the most? God is love, right? So the God of love looks at you and says, I love you very much. Let's say again right now, bam! You had a heart attack and died right there. Bam! And God says, I love you very much. I'll now give you what you love the most forever. So that which you have in your hand is what you will now get forever. And if what you have chosen in your hand is anything other than God, you will be damned forever. Because God will give you what you want. And the only thing hell is a separation from God. And then all these people are mad at me, and this is the first thing we do at a mission, and now they're sitting there, and the guys want to fight with me and everything else, and then afterwards, some of them will come at me and say, Father, I had my family in my hand. I think that's very important. I said, I go, oh, it's very important. But if you love your family more than you love God, you do them a great disservice. Because you love them with a petty love. You love them with a selfish love. You love them with a love that depends how you feel in the morning, how you're going to treat them all. But if you love them, if you love God above all things, now you love them with God's love. And that's eternal. That's unconditional. So again, it's that way about living life in the Holy Spirit or living life by ourselves. You know, I want to be a good Christian. I'm following all the rules. The Pharisees not only followed the Ten Commandments, they followed the 700 commandments of Leviticus. And Jesus looked at him and says, you're not going to make it to heaven. He could look the same and say the same to us. I love my family. It's a big one. I love my country more than anything else. Well, you'll go to hell. I'm sorry. The country above all things is not what Jesus calls you to. Who's above all things? Jesus Christ, period. So if you're not living your life with Christ first, stop calling yourself a Catholic or a Christian because you're not. He said gently, kindly, and compassionately. But the reality is we play these games. I'm a true patriot or I'm a true this. And that's fantastic. But you better be a true surrenderer to Jesus Christ first. Because he said, you're not worthy of me. Sometimes I think I have fully surrendered, and then he asks me for something I'm not willing to give up. If God asks you for your family, if God asks you for your country, if God asks you for your money, if God asks you for your house, if God asks you for your ministry, would you give it up? Because Jesus is more important than anything. Now, gentlemen and ladies, just so you know, when you give up everything for Jesus, you receive everything in return. Do you really think that if you're generous and you'd say, Lord, I'll give up my family, Lord, I'll give up my country, Lord, I'll give up my money, do you really think that you'll be more generous than Almighty God? Come on. When we give everything, we get everything in return. When we hold on to something, we only get to keep that and we get nothing else. So the key to the spiritual life is full surrender. So again, the best way we do that first is how we wake up in the morning, correct? So when you wake up, what are you thinking about? I had a great spirits director. There was a nun when I was in college. And she, first time I ever met her, she says, now, gentlemen, when you wake up in the morning, what do you think about? Do you think about, I got to go to the bathroom? Do you think about, oh, I got all this happening today? Because wherever your mind starts off first thing in the morning, that's where you'll end it. And so if you're thinking about yourself or the world, that's what you'll think about most of the day. But when you wake up in the morning, is the first thing you think about is Jesus, is God. And I remember sitting there, I was first year major seminary, and I just put my head down and I go, well, that's impossible. Because I always wake up thinking about myself in those days. Huh? And we could see why. But the reality is, I'm called to think of God above all things. And so how did I start doing that? First thing in the morning, like I've told you 1,000 times, next to my bed is a Bible. So before, as soon as I turn the light on, before I think of the world, the flesh, and the devil, or I listen to the world, the flesh, and the devil, I listen to God first. Second thing, fall on my knees in front of the Blessed Sacrament, because I have the Blessed Sacrament right next to my bedroom. Jesus, I love you and I give you my life. Use me this day for your glory. And it's great because I sleep with the Blessed Sacrament when I'm on, like here. He's been with me every night. Or I should say I've been with him. So the first thing you do is fall on your knees in the morning and give your life to Jesus. Or spend time with the scripture before everything else. You know, yesterday when I taught you that prayer, it wasn't a one-time thing and done. Like this morning, you should have went through that prayer again in your time with Jesus. I'm sorry, I surrender, hold me. Say the Lord's Prayer. You do that, so you focus on God, you listen to God before anything else. Now you've fully surrendered. But now you gotta live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Like again, when I do a mission, what I do is everybody gets the prayer of surrender the Holy Spirit after we've surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ. The Cardinal Mercier Prayer. You know the Cardinal Mercier Prayer? Oh, Holy Spirit, beloved of my soul, I adore you, enlighten me, guide me, strengthen me, console me. But you can do any one of them. Because again, we try to live the Christian lives by our own power. It's impossible. You can't. You can be a Pharisee, but are you a spirit-filled Christian man or woman? Is it the Spirit of the living God that lives inside of you, or are you still a slave of your sin, right? Again, that's an important thing. If you ever want to read a fantastic book, read a book called Forgotten God. Anybody read the Forgotten God book by Francis Chan? He's a Protestant. Don't worry, you won't die. He's very close to being a Catholic. You know, he has real belief in the real presence of Jesus Christ. So he's really close. But he has some fantastic, fantastic stuff. If one is Forgotten God, the other one is a Crazy Love. And the Crazy Love book, I'll never forget, he asked the question, what if you could go to heaven? And all your friends would be there, your family would be there, everything you ever wanted would be there. You'd be at peace forever. The only thing that wouldn't be there is Jesus. Would you go? And people say, well, I'm supposed to say no, but I'll have everything I want. Yep. Yeah, I'll go. Well, then you're not a follower of Jesus. You're not loving God above all things. In his Forgotten God book, it's about living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, let's say, for instance, that you want to be the best football player in the world, and you're praying, I want to be the best football player. Can I be the best football player? Please let me be the best football player. And then God appears to you and says, what do you like? I want to be the best football player ever. He says, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to come and I'm going to live inside of you. And I'm going to play football for you. You get out of the way. Now, gentlemen, do you think you'd be good football players? The best! Well, you look at God and say, God, I want to be a good Christian. I want to follow you above all things. He says, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit, me, and I will live my life inside of you. Surrender to me and let me live. Again, on my gravestone, I die at 120 because the good die young, will be Galatians 2:19 and 20. I have been crucified with Christ. So the life I live now is no longer my own. Jesus Christ lives inside of me. I still live my human life, yes, but it's a life of faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. You must surrender your life to the Holy Spirit, gentlemen, if you're going to truly be a disciple. And then you'll stop being a slave to lust, to pride, to arrogance, to doing it your way instead of God's way. He's given you the power. He's given you the way to do it. You need to surrender completely to Jesus and completely to the Holy Spirit. And then you'll be a spirit-filled Christian. And then you'll show the world Jesus Christ and not you. Because I'm not going to save anybody. You're not going to save anybody. But Jesus will save everybody if we show them him and not us. You got it? You get it?